Today we have the special zechus of learning the yesodis of the Rabbeinu Yoina in the Inyani Bitachon, which he happens to present in Perek Gimel in his Pirush on Mishlei. Now, the yesod of this whole Inyan of Bitachon, we've already established that there's Bitachon and there's Emunah. And Emunah is Emunah that Hashem is, and it includes not only that he is, but all of his capacity. Bitachon is the consequences of that emunah in a person's daily life. Parenthetically, it happens to be that the Rabbeinu Yoina, for specific reasons that I cannot fathom exactly, has interpreted the psukim here, Ki Hashem Yeh Bekislecha, and Al Tira Mipachat Pisaim, the previous pasuk, that he's interpreting in terms of a city that is being threatened and overwhelmed, and that the Yitzadikim Yechidim in that city do not have to be concerned because they will be protected and saved. So, Al Tira Mipachat Pisaim Mishoas Rishoyim Kisavo on the ear against the city, and Ki Hashem Yeh Bekislecha, Hashem will protect you. So the Rabbeinu Yoina, I'm not going to read verbatim, but I'm going to give you the essence of what he says in many of the parts, maybe if not all of them. You know, by the way, just Derech Agav, that the Rabbeinu Yoina, when he writes in a very Melitza style of writing, Lashon Kodesh. Meaning, in other words, that he uses psukim and parts of psukim as expressions and figures of speech. Sometimes he's quoting psukim because he wants to interpret the psukim. So if you really look at it, mikol v'chol, I would say that maybe 70% of the words of the Rabbeinu Yoina are psukim. But he makes out of that a tapestry, he weaves out of that his shitos. It gives a person a strong cheshek when you learn Rabbeinu Yoina almost anywhere, whether it's Shari Tshuva or here or in his Pirush on Avos, anywhere, that it's kedai to know Tanakh a little bit. Because then all of a sudden these figures and expressions become much more real. He has an expression here a little bit later, Hevel Nidof. And now it happens to be coincidentally that Hevel Nidof is a pasuk in our own Mishlei, in Perek Chof Aleph, I think it's pasuk Vav. But I'm just saying that, you know, if you see Hevel Nidof, so you say, you know, Hevel, it's Hevel Nidof, you know, something that's strewn in the wind. But Tzeil Oiver, you know, Hevel Nidof. But that it comes from a pasuk, how would anyone know unless he knows that this pasuk exists? So you have Rabbeinu Yonah is a big mechayiv to learn Tanakh. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says on the pasuk at the beginning, Ki Hashem Yiyah Bikislecha, Ki Hatzadikim Hanitzolim Min Ha'ovin Yubaitchim Hashem Yizbarach, Yaseh Lohem Neis V'yinotzlu Af Al Pisha Hamokoyim Nisfeh. Like Ha'af Tispeh Tzadikim Rasha. So he says they will be saved. Ushmor aglocha milochet yishmor chosholoti lochet ba'avon ha'ir miloshon avonosav yochadunu. Right? That's a posuk. Or yokashti loch gamnul karata. That's another posuk. A posuk in this context of a city being threatened and being destroyed, the tzaddik has a right to trust in Hashem that he will make a nes and he will save him. Now, in all of the inyonim of bitachon, as we had already in Emunah Bitachon of the Ramban, there is the question, what do you do with Shema Yigroim HaChet? Like, why doesn't that stop you, using the figure of speech in English, dead in your tracks? Why doesn't it stop a person and say to him, listen, you can have as much bitachon as you want, but since you can never be secure of your matzav, and you never know where you're holding with the cheshbon of mitzvahs and averus, and shema yigram hachet that you don't have the zechuyos that you need, so mehecha teisa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect you. The emes, the Rabbeinu Yonah also intimates something like that. His response to it is not that crystal clear that we could say chapter and verse, this is what the Rabbeinu Yonah says and the case is closed. But essentially, I think what the Rabbeinu Yonah is driving at, and I think that is the proper understanding that we would come to maybe on our own, if we would think about it a little bit, that when a person is worried about Shema Yigram HaChet, he has placed the consequences of his matzav still within the orbit of Hashem's concern for him. In other words, bitachon ultimately is, it's not hefker. I'm not a little leaf tossed on the waves as when it fell into the water, and randomly, wherever the wave will take me, that's where I go, and that's where I end up, and that's what happens to me. It's not hefker. There's a plan, there's a cheshbon, there's a schar, there's an einish. And that's why bitachon can include machlois, choloyim royim v'ne'amonim. For example, he says, v'inei ha'boteach b'ashem yizbarach, gamim yimtze'eyu tzoreis rabois v'rois, yis'ameitz ba'avoydas Hashem yizbarach, v'yivtach be'emes, kischoroi kofful u'mechupol, v'chi Hashem yizbarach yivchaloi hatoiv, v'im yoychichu Hashem ba'olam hazeh, that's where he says the expression hevel nidof vitzel oivel. Okay, inyan shenemal mi bochem, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, yirei Hashem shomea b'kol avdoi, Hashaholach chashechim ve'ein noiga loy, yiftach b'shem Hashem v'yishoyim be'loy kov. And then another pasuk, v'ani amarti lorik yogaiti, pirush, ani amarti al roiv hatzorois lorik yogati, v'robu ha'avonos al azuchuyos, ochein ein adovokein, ki atzorois l'toivosi uzchal pu'ulosi sholem, ki inyan schoroi itoi u'pu'ulosi l'fonov. So the concept of the total picture is critical to the inyan of bitachon. And the reason for that is because we do not allow ourselves to fall into that terrible matzav of yiyush and depression that there is no cheshbon, which ultimately is a sense of les din v'les dayan. So the yesod of this inyan of bitachon in Hashem does not, as the Chazon Ish points out many, many times, and is in his Sefer on Amunah and Bitachon, is not that everything will turn out right the way I want and the way I understand right. So a person can have all kinds of circumstances, none of which the observer from afar would perceive as good and beneficial, and yet they may be good and beneficial just the same, because the cheshbon is so complicated. So bitachon ultimately, if you really push it, if you push the inyan of bitachon, you know what bitachon is? Bitachon is connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bitachon is that there's a driver for the bus that I'm on. And bitachon also is that because I have that connectedness, it's really a tremendous incentive in Yira Shamayim in an Avodas Hashem. That's why, and he brings it also, bitachon leads to greater avoda, which leads to greater bitachon. Bitachon leads to Yira Shamayim, and Yira Shamayim leads to bitachon. Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yamitz libecha, v'kaveh el Hashem. The second v'kaveh el Hashem is a higher level than the first. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says this yisod also. He says, the inyan habitochon hashezachanu mefulish b'kosuv shenema bitchu b'Hashem adei ad ki hu yizbach yoytzer oylem hazeh v'oylem abo v'akol biyodoi v'chein bitchu boi ki kol yochel. The bitochon is not only mechazik your yira shamayim, it's also mechazik your emuna itself. I want to point out something to you that he is merames to. There is in the 40th perek of Yeshayahu, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, the Haftorah for Shabbos Nachamu. This is the Haftorah, we have to put it in its proper context to understand the flow of that Perek. Because when somebody looks at the Perek of Nachamu Be'iyun, he's confronted with a whole slew of questions. What is the point of this Perek? Becomes questionable, actually. because there are things that are mentioned in the Perek that seem not to have to do with Nechama itself, but with the Ribon Shlolem, his greatness and his capacity. So I wanted to be masbir that, because it's an offshoot of the Rabbeinu Yonah's Torah here. After the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, a Jew has to have a very strong confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to believe that in all of this darkness there will eventually be tremendous light, and that this is in fact a stage on the way to Mashiach and to not only the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash but the recreation of the whole world. In that context, we understand the flow of the Perek much better. The Ribbono Shlom says, after Nachamu, Nachamu Ami Yomar Elokeichem, Dabru al Levi Yerushalayim. Speak to Yerushalayim, comfort her, talk to her and say everything will be good. Then all of a sudden it says as follows. Al har gavoa aliloch mevaseres tzion, right? Harimi bakoach kolech, harimi al tiroi, don't be afraid. Imri lo arei Yehuda hinei Elokeichem. And then a little bit later it says, Hinei Hashem b'chazok yavo, and so on and so forth. And then later it says, V'elamita damyuni v'eshveh yomar kadosh. Right? Hayoshev al chuga oretz v'yoshveh kachagovim. He sits all the way on top, and it looks like little grasshoppers down below. Imagine you're standing on the observatory tower of the Empire State Building on top of a mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on top of the world in yoshveh kachagovim. And it keeps describing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the connection? And also, why should the Mevaseres be afraid? Imagine somebody comes and says, your problems are over, I have your salvation in hand, here's the check, $1 million, I've saved your business from bankruptcy. Is that person going to be embraced, or is that person going to be challenged and kicked out? So what is there to be afraid? A person comes to a downtrodden, depressed people and says, Hinei Elokeichem, behold, here is Hashem. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to say, Harimi Bakoach Kolech, don't be soft, don't be afraid. Harimi Al Tiroi, don't be afraid of what? So you know what the answer is? The answer is, I'll tell you another pasuk in Yeshayahu, which is almost the diametrically opposite effect. Manovu Alehorim Ragli Mevaser. Is Mevaser Shalom in Masmir Shur Oimer Litzion Molach Eloikoyach. Now, what's the difference between Hinei Eloikeichem, that she has to be afraid, and Molach Eloikoyach, that he's gambling, you know, he's dancing around and he's frolicking and he's saying, Al Har Gavoa, the Mevaser is saying, Manov Al Horim, it's the same Horim, Har Gavoa, but he's Manov Al Horim Ragli Mevaser, he's running around being Mevaser the Yeshua. And everybody's happy with him, and he's not afraid of anything at all. And he says, Malach Aleikoyach. You know what the answer is? The answer is Pashat. Because the original Besairah of Mashiach is going to come to people who see a very bleak situation for thousands of years. And they see tremendous suffering for Klal Yisrael, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be absent. And they see a Churban, they see a Shoah. They see millions of Jews being killed and hurt and damaged in so many different ways. They see a people, Shebein Shivim Ze'evim, and every day seems to be worse than the next, even as we speak. So you have one ally, Egypt. Or HaGeva Sheyiftach Ba'adam. Who knows what Egypt is going to be? Who knows what Jordan is going to be? You know, Lemaisa, Jordan is basically Palestinians. What does Zainan say? Rive of the country is Palestinians. And then you have a Saudi Arabia that you never know from today to tomorrow what it's going to be. And today America can give them all kinds of very sophisticated planes, and the next day, Chas V'Shalom, they could use it as they want. And the whole of America, in the whole world, Bichlal, and in the Middle East, Bifrat, is changing in its capacity and its strength and its ability. You can paint an extremely bleak picture, Rabbi Isai. And I'm not a political analyst, I'm just a simple little Jew. But it's Tudvei and Mahat Meira. So all of a sudden, the Mevaseres is coming along, and the Mevaseres is going to start telling you, it's over, there's nothing to worry about. And you look around, and you don't see anything. You see yesterday. You see the Tzaris. You see the Sheepwood. You see the Saudi Arabian jets flying in the sky. You see a Hezbollah in Lebanon that suddenly took over the country. He says, so you say, what are you, some Mashiach Sheker?
you're another Shabtai Tzvi, was dreist der Kopf? And they're going to slam the door on her. Door after door after door. So the Mevaseret says, I can't do this. So HaKadosh Baruch has to be mechazik her and say to her, no, go, you'll tell them. And then we understand the hemshech, that dafka in this perek are the most beautiful expressions of Hashem's capacity. Because Hashem ke'ilu is convincing B'nai Yisrael, you don't have to be afraid that I can't do it. You don't have to worry that it's too late. You don't have to think that the matzav is too complicated. It's too difficult. Because for me, nothing is difficult. I created the world, and I stand by my promise, and I'm going to save you. But that's why the Mevaseret is afraid. You know what happens afterwards? Afterwards, you see things changing. All of a sudden, you see the whole environment has changed. All of a sudden, you see the presence of Hashem. But it's not yet the finished product. But by then, people are brimming with confidence and they have an extraordinary sense of the future and they realize Mashiach is here. Then, it's very easy to have the final push. Because by that time, everybody is acclimated to the new vision of things and they are no longer in the depression of yesterday. And that is exactly why the Mevaser is described as Manovu Alahorim Ragli Mevaser. You see him already from a distance and you say, oh, it's so nice, it's so beautiful. Because he says Molach in the past tense. Hashem is Molach. Vaya Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz. But the Mevaser says in the present tense, Hinei Elokeichem. She doesn't even say Hinei Malkechem. Because it's not yet Malkechem. It's just Elokeichem. So in that initial stage, in the summertime, in the camp, in the Beis Yaakov camp, so many, many years ago, long before I ever married into it, I understand this was from the day one. They had a Psazam Minig that they established in the camp, that Shabbos Nachamu, early, early in the middle of the night yet, some counselors would get up and wake up bunk after bunk after bunk, and they would go out together, and they would sing Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, or whatever it is, to be merames that that's what's going to happen, the Yemei HaMashiach. Like Reb Chaim Brisker used to say, what's going to be Yemei HaMashiach? So the farmer will be in his farm, and the milkman will be delivering his milk, and the woman will be preparing breakfast in the house, and the yidler will be davening in the Beis Medrash and learning after his shir, and all of a sudden there'll be an announcement in town. You know, Mashiach is here. In other words, you don't need the fanfare, the fireworks. There's no Mashiach is there. So that was the idea, that at any moment Mashiach could be there. No. And at that time, they had a certain Rosh Yeshiva was a guest there that Shabbos, just a guest. And he was an elderly fellow, and he was sleeping very soundly. And they thought that this was a bunk. So they knocked on the door, and nobody answered. Oh, these girls are not going to come out with us. Never. That cannot be. We have to be all together. So they knocked again and again, and finally they saw nobody answers. They turned the handle. The door happened to be open. And the Rosh Yeshiva and his Rebbetzin in the other bed were sleeping with the covers over their head. And these kids of Kanai Nahara, you know, boisterous girls, you know, they were all revved up. Yeah. This was a floor that there were also waitresses already staff members, you know, not stop little kids. You can be a little rough and tumble. So they started yelling and screaming and shaking the beds, and all of a sudden the Rosh Yeshiva gets up. He went through, not the camps, but he was in Siberia. He went through a lot in his life, and there was a broom next to the bed, and he doesn't see them, and he doesn't know what's going on. He just doesn't have his glasses. Anyhow, he takes the broom and he starts swinging and saying, nothing going on, chaos. Anyhow, the next morning, he comes to me with tinus, like it was my fault. It's not my idea. I didn't send them into the room and they didn't know it was it. So Gonish Telfon. So I say to myself, how do I get myself out of this? So I say to him, you know, you just entered by me a Shvera Pasuk. The minute I said that, he forgot completely everything. Ooh, Vos, welcome Pasuk. Amazing. The Koyach HaTayra by a Talmud Chacham. Welcome Pasuk. Which Pasuk are you talking about? So that's when I was Mechadish, Mineyu Bey, this Kasha. Why is the Mevaseris afraid? So I said, it's very pashut, because she's going to knock on the door and there won't be an answer, so she's going to open up the door and she's going to try to shake the person. Maybe the person will start hitting her with a broom. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Mevaseris doesn't have his glasses, don't be afraid, he's not going to hit you. So he heard this Torah and he was very, very excited. Not so much about the, you know, the point, but the, I mean, about its relevance to the Indian at hand, but to this, but to the svara behind it, that Melech HaMashiach is not a pasha to parsha, and to convince people that it's over, all those years of suffering are over, is a very big avodah. So bitachon is involved not only on the yochid's level in his own life and his own disasters and crises, to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yochel. To believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yochel, it's also in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael also has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yochel. And this is one of the yesoides of bitachon, that you have to have that emuna, that there's no block, there's no circumstance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot overcome for you if he so desires. So what happens if you succumb to that, whatever it is, Rachmana Litzlan, Bar Minan, anyhow, the ship has a captain and the bus has a driver. And that is not chaos and it's not an accident. And whatever the cheshbon is, if I can't figure it out, that's just because of my blindness and inherent limitations. And that's a big yesod in bitachon. In fact, as you know, and I've mentioned it in the past, the Chazon Ish is very concerned about those people who talk up bitachon when things are going well for them. Because he says, that's not bitachon. That's crowing. That's not bitachon. That's just another way of telling people that I'm doing very well. Bitachon is to be convinced that no matter what happened, Hashem is in the driver's seat. That's why he says in his famous mashal that if somebody opens up a business across the street and all of a sudden you disintegrate in fear and in anger and in resentment and you start doing things that are even against Hashem and are totally inappropriate, he says that's proof positive that you don't have bitachon. Because no matter what, Hashem will take care of you as he so decides and desires is what is good for you. And then there's another point that he makes that's critical. In other words, bitachon isn't, I trust in this person, and I trust even more in that person, but the most I trust is in Hashem. It's not so. It's not madregas in trust. Bitachon requires an absolute confidence in Hashem's running your show, running your life, running your destiny, and no trust whatsoever in anybody else on the level of trust. The concept of trust is leaning back and falling and knowing that you will be caught. That idea, it says, Arur HaGeber Asheyiftach Ba'odam, Arur HaGeber Asheyiftach Ba'odam, V'sam Basas Royoy. This is a yesod in the bitachon in Hashem, that there is none other that you can have bitachon in. It doesn't matter who it is, a parent, a wife, a child, a boss, a servant, a worker, it makes no difference. A Rebbe, a Talmud, there is no bitachon concept that in any way is doime to the idea of bitachon in Hashem. U'me'inyan ha-bitachon shelo yiftach ba'odom, v'yeda ba'emes ki ein biyad bosov adom lehetiv lo ulatziloi zulosi im yigzo Hashem yizbarach. And the remarkable thing about the Rabbeinu Yonah adds to this is not only that people are not reliable, because that's normally what we say. Because Me'echatei said that today's friend is going to be tomorrow's friend. Maybe today's friend will forget about you altogether. That's not what he says. He says that even when it comes from your friend, it's really coming from Hashem. Which is a remarkable thing. What about HaKobi Dei Shamayim and so on? So interesting, in terms of the destiny of a person, since there's Harbe Shluchim Lamakom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can plant an idea into somebody's head, he can give him the koyach to fulfill it. You know, it's very interesting. Sometimes you have that on a certain day, you'll go to a person for a loan. Most people speak from their life experiences, you know. And yeah, someday you go to a person for a loan, and he's your friend, and he has the money. And he starts telling you stories and mices, and you know, gives you a kiss and a hug, but he doesn't give you the check. and another day the same person in the same relationship, and he's not giving you kisses and hugs. He says, how much do you want me to write it out for? What's the difference between the two? So normally a person would say, he had a good day, his stocks went up, his wife is happy with him, I don't know, whatever it is. He just had an anicle, he's in a good mood. He's in a mood of largesse, he's in a mood of friendship, he's in a mood of giving. And the other day, the opposite. Zakta Rabbeinu Yoina, not at all. The Eibishter wants, or the Eibishter doesn't want. It's interesting in the Mahalach here. Shene, kinyin shenema or hagever sheyiftach ba'odom. Which is also remarkable, because what about Bechira? If a person wants to hurt somebody, isn't it possible that his Bechira will overcome? HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it, of course. It's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stop him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can stop anything. But he allows it, because that's not limiting the person's Bechira. So he says no. Or Hashem lo yira my lasi li odom from Halil. V'nema Hashem oyi v'yishi mimi ira. So now he says, Omnom b'voy hatzara. So what happens if the tzara does arrive? Midaitoi ki hakoil biyad Hashem yizbarach. V'chi hatzola biyad amake. P'nei levavoy mu'odoy sal Hashem yizbarach. He says the Hatzala is in the hands of the Makkah. Who's the Makkah? The Eibishter is the Makkah. And he's the Shaliach. It's a remarkable idea here. So therefore, Panai mu'odai sal Hashem yisbarach. Hinei ke'enei avodim el yad adoneihem. V'lo yosim libay l'pachad hamakah. V'yosef yira l'Hashem v'tikva v'tocheles eilav. V'lo yosef, he quotes a pasuk in Yishayo Perik Yud. That's what he says. So the whole of the thrust of the Rabbeinu Yoina is not organized in the usual Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey kind of organization. That's why there's a lot happening here in these several pages. But it's crystal clear that the Rabbeinu Yoina established his yesoidus of what bitochen is, to teach others what bitochen is. Picked Perek Gimel of Mishlei. Because if you look at the Rabbeinu Yoina's Pirush, you'll see a line on a pasuk, three lines on a pasuk, but not four pages. And all of a sudden, he spreads himself across the entire length and breadth of the Inyan of Bitochin. Dafka, here he found the place. Interesting. Kiyiras Hashem Kislecha. Another point that the Rabbeinu Yona makes, by the way, let me just summarize what he says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Kol Yochol. Hinei me'inyan ha-bitochen eshe socharanu, she'yamin b'chol ma she'yavtiach Hashem yizbarach al yedei neviyov. V'chol ha-niflos v'hatovos ha'she yiyed b'yad malochov, ki yokum dvoroi lo'oilom v'yemalei ha'koil. Part of bitochen is to believe that all the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said al yedei neviyov. And I think, by the way, that that's why we say b'neviyei ha'emes. B'neviyei ha'emes. Is that, of course, we're not talking about Nevi'ei Sheker here. We're talking about Nevi'im. Nevi'im are Nevi'ei Emes. But it's Emes means that there is in Nevi'im promise after promise after promise. Where are those promises? The answer is Nevi'ei Emes. Part of Bitachon is to believe that every single word will come true. You know where it says that? In the Haftarah of Shabbos, Nachamu, in Yeshayahu Perek Mem, Pasuk Zayin. That's the consequence that he says in the very next paragraph. First, that the Nevi'im and whatever they said, every word will come to pass. That's part of our emunah in Hashem. Why is it part of bitachon? The answer is pashut. Because when you're in a matzav, but you know it'll be good in the end, it's a different hasag of the matzav right now. also you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can kick you and lift you up afterwards. And even if it's not happening the next day, but you know that the kick is a different kind of kick. That's the famous mashal, beautiful mashal of the Dubna Magid. Sometimes the Dubna Magid had some very complicated mashalim. Very interesting. I have to share this with you. I was speaking to a mother of a former Talmud of mine who's now learning Basmada Atzuma in a certain yeshiva. And at that time, he said he doesn't want to go to college anymore. He doesn't want to go to college. He wants to sit and learn Yoyman Balayla. It's not part of my job description to discourage people from staying where I give shiur, I mean, obviously. And I didn't push him on his own and in his own energy and his own hasaga and his own avas ha-teira and yira shamayim, he decided that he wants to nafshi choshka ba-teira. That's all. And the parents are hysterical. Why are they hysterical? For two reasons. First of all, was vetzayin, the classic question that all Jewish parents ask, what's going to be with him? He's not even going to get his degree. I mean, Heintikatzai, the bachelor's degree anyhow isn't worth anything, but it's the chakal v'chomer. If he's not going to go for the bachelor's, he's not going to go for any higher education beyond that either. So they were worried in that sense, but they were also worried that maybe Bichlal, he's going off the deep end. You know, a person from that kind of background and that kind of elementary school and high school, mehechateisa, that he sits and learns the whole day. So maybe he's unstable. Maybe Bichlal, he needs a psychiatrist. Anyhow, this went on. Finally, he left this yeshiva and went to another place that also has college classes, maybe a little bit more consistent. Whatever. Anyhow, he couldn't stand that either. Elvil no zitzen and leonin. No, what does the mother have to do with me? Because I was his last Rebbe in the yeshiva that she wanted him to stay there, and she started talking to me, so she calls me up. So the Eibishter is very kind to me, and sometimes he puts words into my mouth. I had once a maisa with a woman who wanted to speak to me because her son is getting married, and the son comes to me right at the beginning of shiur and says, my mother's waiting outside for you after shiur, and I want to warn you. So I said, what is there to warn me? What's the problem? He says, I don't know what the problem is exactly, but she's breathing fire. Anyhow, I go outside and I say to her, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. She says, never mind the Mazel Tovs, I'm here for a reason. Says, bitte. Anyhow, she says, you know, I understand you're going to be the Masada Kedushin. So I said, well, I hope so. I mean, you know. So she says, well, you're going to write the Ketubah. So I said, yeah, I'm going to write the Ketubah. So she says, well, when you write the Ketubah, I want you to write my name, not my husband's name. A feminist, happily married. She wants that this Ketubah, for a change, should have the mother's name, Nishta Tatas. So I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, help me out here. Vazaktman. And just Mineyobe, I said to her, you know something? I see your point. But you know that the only time that we use a mother's name is when someone is deathly ill. I don't think it's a good omen. Oh, Rabbi, you are so right! And she runs for her life. So that was the end of that. And I said, Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you very much, for at least for as long as it lasts. You know, Lamaisa, most feminists, Bizman Azeh, if they're really Fabisna feminists, would say that it's Kedai. That's called Mesiras Nefesh, you know. The kid said, Ribbono Shel Olam put Moiridika words into my mouth, and I said to her, listen. And she just reminded me of this. She turned around, by the way, 1,000%. You don't know what it means, a mother's devotion to a son, and how much she wants him to vax ois a godel be Israel. You have no idea. And if this chas v'sholem anything that's not in encouraging him or enhancing his learning, she gets upset. So she tells me, what was the maisa shahaya? She says, you told me about the train. Do you remember about the train? So to be honest with you, I remembered something about a train, but I didn't remember what I told her, because since then I've spoken to 1,000 people. So she says, well, you told me like this. You have a train, and it's definitely heading in a certain destination, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you can derail the train. Now, the train's going to go off the tracks, a few of the cars will be smashed, a few of the people will be hurt, but eventually they'll get the train back onto the track, and it'll continue on its destination. So if the train is going, no matter what, in that direction and to that place, wouldn't it be better if the train gets there whole and safe and sound and with a tremendous amount of success?
So she said, Rabbi, you are right. And she changed completely. Because that train was going to become a Gadol B'Torah, an Eli of a boy, tremendous head, and a Masmid Nifla. All he needed was a little bit more encouragement. So why should you keep derailing your own child's train? Anyhow, b'kitzur, that was a Maisa Shehaya. In the inyan of this bitachin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to convince the person that he is capable, because we are in such a desperate matzav. But if you look at the total picture, and this gets us to the mashal that I wanted to tell you from the Dubna Magid, if you look at the total picture, it's different completely. So what is different? So the Dubna Magid says it on the pasuk, right, that lo asid lava bayomahu v'nigash chayresh bakoitzer. The chayresh is the person who plows the field. The koitzer is the person who harvests the wheat. The koitzer and the chayresh never come at the same time. They don't see each other. Because the chayresh is at the beginning of the process. He's plowing a barren field and he's turning the grass that's there into nothingness. And he's making a churban. And it's only when you see the peiros much later. The problem is that the plower doesn't see the reaper, the harvester. La'asid lavoi b'yoymahu v'nigash chayrish b'koytzer, says the Dubna Magid. We'll see the whole picture. That's the secret of la'asid lavoi. Until then, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to keep convincing us, I can do it, I can do it. And now with these eyes, you'll open up or you'll listen to the Haftorah, Bezus Hashem, of Shabbos Nachamu. Of course, Bezus Hashem, this year it might be that even Shabbos Chazon is a different Haftorah, Bezus Hashem, because Mashiach will have already come. And you're listening to this Haftorah, you will hear it with a different set of ears. Because the whole of the Haftorah rings Be'ikar and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's capacity. And by the way, if you look at the Shiva, the Nechemta, the theme repeats itself more than once. Because of this tremendous fear and concern that the Ribbono Shel Olam Kivayochel himself has, that we won't be able to believe it even as he is telling it to us. Because of what we see in front of our very eyes. It's a Meirid Dikazach. So let me just continue with this expression. Not only that all the Nevi'im's words will be Mekuyim, but implicit in that, of course, is that he has to have total confidence that Hashem can do it. Even if you see imminent danger, like the matz of today, it's the ground is shaking underneath us. I remember once, after 9/11, somebody called me in desperation. He has to talk to me. I thought, who knows what? He's intact. His family's intact. Everything is the same as yesterday. He says, after 9/11, I feel that the ground is shaking from under me. I need chizuk. It's amazing. So 9/11's come and go, because you see, the truth of the matter is we're so inured to the danger that faces us that we sometimes forget that it could get worse also. But the fact is, he says, Kitzara Kraiva, never mind. Yeshua say lovai kraiva. Ki koil yuchal velo yibotze mizima. V'nemar, su'u shamayim einechem v'abitul oretz mitochas. V'yiftach b'Hashem yizborach b'chol eis tzara v'chashecha. As dark as it is, trust in Hashem v'yeda be'emes. Ki hu rav lo yishia mikol tzara v'yishua say ge'erefayin. V'alkein yikabel yishua say. You know the expression Yeshua Hashem Karefayim? There's no pasuk like that. There's no gemara like that, as far as I know. But the Rishonim, they had it. Yeshua Asai Karefayim. If there is such a pasuk or a gemara, please let me know. As far as I know, I haven't found it. V'alkein yekabel Yeshua Asai gam im hacherev munach al tzavra ha'adam.
Right? Gemara says, "Afilu cherev chadu munachas al tzavor shel adam al yisya'ish min arachamim." Kinin shenema hein yikteleini, even as he is killing me, lo ayachel, I will have trust in him. Pasuk, a famous pasuk, pasuk in Iyah, if correct. Vehi toicheles atzula min abitochein. This is one of the derivatives. Atzula, he means netzal. Va'atzalti min aruach hasher alecha. It's a derivative of bitochein, this confidence. V'nemar bitchu boi b'chol eis. What is b'chol eis? It means no matter what the circumstances, no matter how bad it, how bleak it seems to be. Pirish b'chol eis, gam be'eis sha'atzara kroiva, v'lo yeda odom derech lehinotzel mimeno. So the Rabbeinu Yonah, when he speaks about bitochon, does not forget that the bitochon of the yochid is merely one part of a larger picture, which ultimately is the bitachon of Klal Yisrael in the historical Yeshua Hashem, which is possible without any suffix, no matter who and what is against you, or how many they are, or their weapons, or their resolve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply sweeps them away if he so desires. And the promise of the Navi is that eventually the Kaitzer shows up, even though we are in the middle of the Harisha. That's a critical yesod in bitachon. And one bitachon feeds on the other. A person who has a sense of bitachon in his own life has the ability to be boteach b'Hashem for Klal Yisrael as well, and vice versa. So therefore, in the idea of bitachon, you cannot separate the klal from the prat, or the prat from the klal. It's all one and the same. And that is the gist of the words of the Rabbeinu Yonah. I just want to say one more thing, and then we will stop. And of course, there's much more here. Yosef Mimasha Karasi Lifnechem Kosuv Kam. He says like this: Bitochin. Here. The last thing I'm going to say is a very profound and it's really a quasi Kabbalistic idea. It's something that we can hear with our ears, even as it might have ramifications that we cannot comprehend, okay? And there's a lot of things like that belong in the realm of Kabbalah, which we are not connected to, and it nevertheless have their implications in the world in which we live and function, and the logic that we use every day, in our nigla, as it were. And this is what he says. Right? He says, after he speaks about the toicheles is mechazik the toicheles, right? The bitochon leads to greater bitochon. As I mentioned to you before, kavil Hashem, chazak v'yamitz lebecho v'kavil Hashem. He writes like this: V'daki zois ha-madrega gedoyla el yoyna b'bitochon. It's a very high level of bitochon. V'naskir sod ha-dover. Shenema kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi. He wants to know, we say this pasuk all the time, kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi v'lidvaro hecholti. What does it mean? Kivisi kivsa nafshi. What's the difference between kivisi and kivsa nafshi? That's kivisi. It's not somebody else. Kivisi means me. What's kivsa nafshi? Me. So what's kivisi and what's kivsa nafshi? You'll see. It's a repetition to strengthen the point that I have bitachon. He says no. Kivisi leads to and ultimately is kivsa nafshi. What's the difference between kivisi and kivsa nafshi? The neshama is constantly pining and yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and wants to connect. And the reality that bitachon creates of the presence of Hashem, this is my way of saying it, by the way, I'll read to you his words in a minute. The reality that bitachon creates about the presence of Hashem in the person's life connects the person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and memeles mechaber the neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to understand, before we read the words, if you want to understand it, you look at the street and you see Yidin, even people going to shul and people keeping Shabbos, and I have nothing against them. But they are so disconnected, you have no idea. They're not connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They don't live with the Eibishter. So sometimes it manifests itself in this, and sometimes it manifests itself in that. The Iker, they as I always say, there are really only two kinds of religious Jews. If you're not religious because you have no shaychus to the Torah and to mitzvah, it's a different story. But there are two kinds of religious Jews. There's a Jew that lives the life of Hashem's word, and then there's the Jew that lives his life plus the life of Hashem, of Hashem's Torah. It's a chelik of his life, but it's not his life. And the ramifications of these two perspectives are neira v'ayim. Has nothing to do with modern Orthodox versus super Orthodox, the charedim and chardalim and this ones and that ones. It is nothing to, you can't give names to these people. Because in every one of the circles, Ashkenaz, Sfarad, Hasidim, Misnagdim, there are both kinds. And there'll be somebody that's connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam with his derech and his mahalach, and his life is fraught with the knowledge of Hashem. He lives with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He lives a life of Shulchan Aruch, of Musar, of Yirat Shamayim. And that's Kivtso Nafshi. And then there's a person who keeps mitzvahs. There's a tremendous difference between the two. And sometimes it manifests itself in very specific things, and sometimes, and most of the time, it manifests itself in what we call sensitivities. Sensitivities. A certain vision produces sensitivities. It produces overarching perceptions, and perceptions lead to consequences that are sometimes very subtle, but nevertheless very, very real. And the mela, how you look at something, could be a rechoik mizrach mimayrov, and both of them consider themselves shomrei Torah mitzvahs. So this is what he says. Let me read to you now how he says it in his halakhic lashon. V'da ki zois hamadrega gdol elyona bebitochin v'naskir soid adover shenema ki visi Hashem kivso nafshi pirush hanefesh hamisave kabolas habitochin. The soul yearns the consequences of bitachon. Shenemar yetzer samuch. Vamaskilim yovinu v'nemar achrov nafshi l'ashem v'hi hatikva bapratim. So he's quoting a pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Chav Vav. Yetzer samuch. Right? Yetzer samuch titzor shalom. Shalom ki b'cha batuach. And you know the next pasuk, this pasuk nobody knows. You know what the next pasuk is? Bitchu b'Hashem adayad ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim. That everybody knows. Which just goes to prove that the reason we know psukim is not because one are easier, the other one is harder. It's because we chazer things, we remember them. If it's in the davening or it's a song, we can know it. If it's not, then chas v'sholem, we don't learn Tanakh, we don't know the pasuk. But you know what Yetzer Samach, the Pasuk is saying, and the Rashi says over there, and the Radak says essentially the same thing. It's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You Hashem, you see a person who's a Yetzer, a personality, a desire that is relying on you, it's Samach, it's Sayyach Halacha, then you have to take care of him. In other words, what the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is, Bitachon is an idea that on the one hand has, you might say, pragmatic consequences in how you lead your life and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. But it has one fundamental yesod, which is in a certain sense much more profound than the specifics and the consequences. And that is that a person who is a boteach is a person who is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kivisi Hashem kivso nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti. So the lidvaro hocholti is for the pratim. But the kivsa nafshi is for the connection. And I said it in my own way, but this is what the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. There's no question about it. And he says that's a tremendous yesod. What he means to say is that it's not only yesod, but it's a yesod gadol. He means to say that in Kabbalah, it has a tremendous place. That's biyodcha afkidruchi, alecha nafshi esa, and so on and so forth. There are madregas of bitachon that carry you beyond your daily concern and the inyonim that bitachon has for you in your life or the life of Klal Yisrael, and has to do with your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any given moment.